Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Pedro Reyes. The supply chain has been key in the news over the last several weeks due to COVID-19, and Dr. Reyes is a supply chain expert. He serves as Associate Professor of Operations and Supply Chain Management in Baylor University's Handkammer School of Business. Dr. Reyes, the founder and former director of the Center of Excellence in Supply Chain Management, is a leading supply chain scholar and expert, author of the books RFID in the Supply Chain and Global Supply Chain Management, and dozens of published journal articles. Prior to a career in higher education, Dr. Reyes spent 2 decades in supply chain management professionally. His dissertation and early research focused on grocery supply chains, replenishment systems, the use of radio frequency identification or RFID technology, and he's been researching further Industry 4.0 in the global supply chain. He is with us here today, Dr. Pedro Reyes. Thanks so much for joining us. It's great to talk to you and get to learn more about a topic you know well.
Well, thank you. I appreciate the invite, and I'm very happy to be here to help out.
I think for a lot of us, we hear about the supply chain and have a basic idea of what it does, but I think a little supply chain 101 here over the next 23 minutes would be interesting for a lot of us, and 101 to really dive in a little bit further. So let me start by asking you, what is life like in the supply chain world right now during COVID-19, and what are the topics and questions that are dominating those conversations?
Well, that is certainly an interesting question. It's a good way to frame it. Well, life in the supply chain during this COVID-19 has no doubt captured the attention of many people. Now, and seriously, all of a sudden, the field of operations and supply chain management is sexy and is relevant. It is interesting to hear the topics and questions I hear on the news and people around me and how this dominated the conversations. Some of the topics are very straight to what I cover in my classes. You know, in general, the topics will include replenishment and demand planning. Big questions. Where's the toilet paper? Well, that's an inventory management question. Why are the shelves empty? That has to do with replenishment. Demand planning. Why can't the grocery stores restock faster? Well, that's basically supply chain processes. Why was this not predictable? Demand planning. It's very difficult to predict a pandemic like this. And then again, probably the most important question topic that I hear is, why is the supply chain broken? And many more questions like that basically has led to this panic buying that we're in right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's scale back a moment, Dr. Reyes, and define more specifically so we can define it the same way you do. How would you define the supply chain to a student or just simply someone who asks you what you do?
Well, I get constantly asked that question. I can keep it real simple and I can get really long-winded, but let me first say this, that the actual term supply chain was first introduced into business speak in about 1992. Before that, the concepts were basically independently taught as islands in the different linkages. These are logistics, transportation, warehousing, procurement, and so on. Since 1992, there's been many different definitions, but there's a lot of similarities in those definitions as well. And these have been offered by the different professional groups in operations and supply chain management field. So from a procurement side, the purchasing people will have a definition. The logistics side still have a definition. And so on. But you asked me how I define the supply chain to my students. Having worked as a supply chain professional for more than 20 years, I offer a simple definition based on those years of experience. Basically, all the events that lead up to having products on the shelf. I'll tell you a funny story. When I was a grad student, I read an article, and this thing about supply chain was just coming out. And in the article, and I've never been able to find that article again. I wish I could, but it defines supply chain as all of the events for toilet paper to get on the shelf. And basically, it was all the events from start to finish, which was from the stump to the rump. All those activities define supply chain management. And that was very humorous. But when you take it further out as to how we actually frame it in the classroom, overall, global supply chain management involves specific and very complex decisions. And they address the fundamental questions of planning to get the product on the shelf for the customer. And this includes the sourcing, the making, and delivering of those manufactured goods. So as I tell my students, it's all about planning. Planning for the demand and planning for supply. And supply does not necessarily mean inventory. Supply also means capacity.
Visiting with Dr. Pedro Reyes, Associate Professor of Operations and Supply Chain Management at Baylor. And Dr. Reyes, how does the supply chain impact our lives in ways that we rarely consider? I think we probably take a lot of it for granted.
Well, that is true. You know, the supply chain in general, you know, they do impact our lives, but kind of flies below the radar, so to speak, in our everyday life, because we don't really consider how it works. We only know that it works. That is until we have a breakdown or a temporary disruption such as this. But over the years, and since the third industrial revolution that started in the 1950s, you know, it was a lot of developments in how supply chains were managed. Flexible production systems, lean systems in the early 1970s, just the outsourcing phenomenon, you know, here in the United States, everything was made here, and then everything all of a sudden is now outsourced, and it's global sourcing. It's, you know, throughout the world. That started in the 1990s, and then the increased automated systems that started in the early 2000s. All of this has led to integrated supply chains. So all this stuff has been happening in the background for decades, but we as consumers, we really don't pay attention to that because we just know it works. And the only time that we actually start to question or be concerned about it is when, well, wait a minute, it's no longer working. Why? And then we go and fix it.
This is Baylor Connections. We are visiting with Dr. Pedro Reyes, expert in supply chain management in Baylor's Handkammer School of Business. And Dr. Reyes, as we dive in a little bit more to COVID-19 and its impact, are there distinctions that we should think about in the way the supply chain works in different industries? And I would say specifically some of those staple industries that most of us are using and thinking about now.
Well, yes, there are clear distinctions in the way supply chains work. And I tell my students repeatedly throughout the semester that not all inventories are created equally, and therefore not all supply chains are created equally. And how we design supply chains, and specifically the delivery system, you know, I refer to that as the delivery system because we're starting at one end of the supply chain and it ends up on the shelf, for example, to deliver products to the customers. So how those are designed is very unique to the products themselves. And by that, you know, this is where I refer the students to a very simple marketing concept known as a product lifecycle. This product lifecycle is known to have four different phases: the introduction, the growth, mature, and decline. Okay. But when you look at it from an operational perspective, there are basically two different strategies or two different approaches to how supply chain management is designed to deliver those products to the customer. And I'll give you a couple of examples. So early on in the product lifecycle, the introduction, the growth, the products are not mature yet. You know, we kind of refer to these as staple products or mature products. But early on in its life cycle, we don't know what's going to happen with these products. There's a lot of uncertainty. And so the design tends to be one where we want to be responsive to the customer. We want to be responsive to the market. And so then the supply chain design basically is focused on the processes itself to deliver those goods to the customers. Later, as the product matures, and now in the back half of the product life cycle, this would be your staple items, you know, everyday items. In this case, the design looks to be more efficient, an efficient design, so that we can get the products to the customer at the lowest possible cost. Now, even with that's just a general way of describing the differences between different supply chains, because not all inventories are created equally, not all supply chains are created equally, and the designs for how we deliver to the customer has to be viewed as such. But then by industry, you have certain types of products that, you know, are going to be, well, there are going to be a little minor adjustments to how those are managed. For example, a blood supply chain would be managed way different compared to how you would manage, canned products, can of corn, can of peas, etc.
Talking to Dr. Pedro Reyes here on Baylor Connections. Dr. Reyes serves as Associate Professor of Operations and Supply Chain Management at Baylor's Handkammer School of Business. And Dr. Reyes, what's unique about the disruptions to the supply chain from COVID-19? And how does that compare and contrast to maybe some other more common disruptions that professionals have to deal with?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I guess in a real simple way, I've already been comparing this to the disruption of 9/11. I was actually working as a supply chain coordinator at Dallas Semiconductor when 9/11 happened. Border crossings were closed. There was no land transportation crossing the borders, no trucks, no rail. Trucks stuck in Canada, trucks stuck in Mexico, and so on. There was no air traffic whatsoever for weeks, nothing coming in and out. We couldn't ship our work-in-process inventory to factories, suppliers, and we weren't receiving anything back. We got to the point where we actually stopped production. We just didn't start any new work orders because of the uncertainty. And global supply chains was seriously disrupted. Fast forward a bit, the tsunami in Japan, all that catastrophe, you know, just a few short years ago, practically shut down global supply chains all over the world. We have not fully recovered from that. The hurricanes we've had here in the United States have not fully recovered. The local economics have not fully recovered. What's unique about this particular disruption? Well, it just captured a lot of attention, mostly about supply chain and some processes. It has given me more material to talk about in class. We look at it as a customer from, is there a product on the shelf? I talked about, where's my toilet paper? Where's my stuff? The shelves are empty. Well, the shelves are no longer empty, but it's just a lot of fear, a lot of uncertainty. And what saddens me and more talking points to my students is that we look at it from the customer demand side without really focusing much about the delivery system itself. I mean, what's happening now in the media, we're hearing, you know, cotton farmers can't process, you know, they can't sell the cotton because the production companies are closed because they're not essential. You have meat processing companies. They're actually have to euthanize the animals because they can't finish the process so that they can be sold downstream. And milk is being thrown away. I mean, that's just crazy. But the thing is, it is the fact that the supply chain is so dependent upon everybody going in a similar fashion. And when one piece of the chain link is broken, everything falls apart. And then that turns into panic buying.
Talking to Dr. Pedro Reyes, and Dr. Reyes, are there industries that are best situated to weather the disruption or at least alleviate some of the effects?
Truthfully, I don't think any one industry is going to do well. there's going to be some, there are already bumps in the roads. There's already hiccups. There's already things that are going to have to be redesigned, rediscovered, and, you know, basically just reworked. But I don't really believe that any one particular industry is going to fully weather this storm. And that's mostly because of supplier risk management practices. It's very common in the 1990s. I had mentioned was, you know, this phenomenon of outsourcing, and our supply chains in the United States are so stretched out. And by that, I mean stretched out all over the globe. I mean, because there is global sourcing. When you take that risk of having a single source supplier and it's not within your own borders, you lose not just the control, because you give up control when you outsource, but you lose the ability to respond. The resiliency is no longer there. And so what I see coming up next is companies are going to have to start looking at better designs for resiliency. Now, I will say this, the grocery supply chain is perhaps the more has the most resilient design compared to others. And that's because of the proliferation of products that we have in our supply chains. We don't really notice when things are temporarily out of stock, because there's always something else on the shelf. It took this COVID-19 disruption to actually see that effect. But think about this. Here in the United States, we've been very, very spoiled because we always have an abundance of products. But look at another country, for example, New Zealand. They're an island. Practically everything is imported, and they export a lot. So if there's a temporary stock out, it will be noticed.
Talking to Dr. Pedro Reyes. And Dr. Reyes, are you seeing any creative ways that industries are working together to alleviate some of those impacts and global disruptions that you talked about?
Well, actually, I've been keeping a very close eye on the news, taking a lot of notes. It's contributing to my research and some future papers that I plan to write. But it's really interesting how, the Defense Protection Act has actually is being used again. And this is something that President Trump, put out. And the biggest example, that I can point to right now is that Ford, they're not making automobiles anymore. Instead, they're making the needed medical equipment and supplies. And when you have companies over the years have had to redesign themselves, because of, just things happen, when the internet and email came out and all of a sudden now you can send things electronically, you had companies that, was relying on overnight delivery and, mm-hmm. They went out, they had to redefine themselves, in order to stay in business. And I think we're going to start seeing a few more of those events happening here in the next few months, next few years, where companies are going to start to redefine themselves to address some of these opportunities that have basically, from a business perspective, an opportunity that they're going to see that's available that we need to do to strengthen our supply chain. And that's just one example. Ford. There's quite a few others that are companies that are doing the same thing.
Visiting with Dr. Pedro Reyes. And Dr. Reyes, as we head into the final couple of minutes of the program, are there any external factors that you see, whether it's improving or that it need to improve, that we as consumers can be watching for as we look for things to get back to normal?
Well, we are living in the industry 4.0, era. And I think we will start seeing another small explosion from that. We've had to adjust, quite frankly, to we've pushed a lot of people into this digital era now. Even though I research it, I don't fully embrace it, but I've had to embrace the digital and the technology, the data interchange, and such. We're going to see probably a rediscovery of global supply chain management practices. And I say that because, you know, we want to have agile supply chains. We want to have lean supply chains. We want to have very cost-efficient, cost-effective supply chains. And I'm going to, you know, I'm seeing that there's already starting to take the effects of some small tweaking in the supply chains to address this needed resiliency. When you're focusing on lean systems, you give up that resiliency. When you're focused on agile, you give up some other things. And so we're going to start seeing some more, a rediscovery, some redesigns, and some changes. What I'm hoping that it's practical and not knee-jerk reaction.
Well, that sounds good. Well, Dr. Pedro Reyes, we very much appreciate your time. Thanks so much for sharing your insights with us today.
Appreciate you having me. Appreciate you asking me to do this.
Thank you. Dr. Pedro Reyes, Associate Professor of Operations and Supply Chain Management in Baylor University's Handkammer School of Business, our guest today here on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder, you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.